Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Alampi is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is a new friend of ours. He's the founder of Alampi & Associates, LLC, the author of a new book, Great to Excellent. It's The Execution. He's got a significant career in corporate America, and now he's taken all the things he's learned, and he's helping privately held companies learn how to run their businesses better, especially for the CEOs to become better at what they do, including you, small business owners. And he's our new friend, Jim Alampi. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. You know, Jim, one of the things that I've been really focusing on for the last couple of years is trying to encourage my audience to think of themselves as the CEO. And at least part of the time, spend part of their time in the role of the CEO of their company, which means that they got to get out of the trenches. They got to get their head out of the trenches and get up to an elevation where they can see what's going on and where they're going. What do you think?
One of the most typical reasons that startups fail because the CEO can't get out of the functional job that made him so passionate about starting the company in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
We see that all the time. Somebody was a programmer, they were in sales, or they were an engineer and invented things. But in the job of running a startup, you've got to be a leader, and that means stepping back and taking on different responsibilities. Some make that transition and some don't.
Right. Well, the thing about it, when I think of a CEO of a small, of any company, the CEO is supposed to be the visionary. The CEO is a person who has the perspective on where the company needs to go. Not so much the details as much as looking at future things, looking at things that are around you, things that are coming at you, the implication of things, that kind of strategic thinking. What do you think?
I think that's a great point. Our phrase that we like to remind ourselves of is vision without execution is hallucination. The reality is every CEO I've ever met in my life has a vision for their company. That's the actual easy part.
Right.
The hard part is how do I get all my people aligned going in the same direction? What's the plan to actually achieve that vision?
But the thing is, and exactly, you've got to envision that and then come back to your group and say, okay, guys, this is what I see. This is what I've been thinking. What do you think? And if you agree or disagree, how do we get there? But what happens is, unfortunately, it's too many small businesses. As you said earlier, the CEO, the person who's the only one who could be the CEO, is down in the trenches, and they're basically just working on what they can see right in front of them. And in the meantime, they're either missing opportunities or they're getting run over by somebody else's opportunity.
It's what we call, Jim, the in the business versus on the business syndrome.
Right.
They get dragged down into the detail and the minutiae, and they never step back to think about what do we need to do differently to get to the next phase of our growth.
How does someone who has the vision and the instincts and the courage to create something from nothing, and how do they take that trait and then turn it into the kind of a person that can manage that and turn that, and as you say, execute on all that, but still be a CEO? It's a tough job, isn't it?
It certainly is, and in Great to Excellent, I talk about the barriers to that kind of growth and the kind of things CEOs have to do differently if they want to get to the next level. We find that you can get to maybe the first million in revenue, maybe even the first 10 million in revenue in somewhat of a chaos mode and kind of a startup mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But to get from that 10 million to 50 million, size requires a whole different thought process, a whole different set of skills and strengths and habits. And over the last 12 years, I have counseled a number of CEOs on what you would have to do to make that transition, and a lot of them have looked at me and said, I don't like the idea of what you told me I'm going to have to do, and I don't even think I'm good at it. Well, that's great. That recognition is really important, and as you had just asked, at that point, you've got a couple choices. Maybe you go out and bring in a CEO who's done that before. Yeah. Maybe you sell the company and go start another one if you love the chaos of the startup mode.
Right.
It's that serial entrepreneurship that is powerful but can only get you so far.
There was a
great book by Marshall Goldsmith, his title was totally apt. You know, what got you here won't get you there.
Exactly right. And one of the things that I have been telling my small business CEOs is every year, if not more often, you got to fire yourself from jobs that you don't have to do, you don't need to be doing anymore, that anybody else could do, and promote yourself to jobs that only you can do. What do you think about that?
I think CEOs have to define their job description and pick those areas that where they really contribute to their company and then delegate everything else to their staff. I came to the conclusion after 3 public and 3 startup companies that there were only 4 things I did as a CEO that really contributed to my company. Number one, I've got to drive setting direction for the firm. That's on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've got to make sure we hire the right people and develop them. I'm not going to do that on a day-to-day basis, but I need to make sure we have the people and processes in place so that we're only putting the right people on our payroll. Number three, I've got to make sure my people have resources. And number four, maybe I can get obstacles, big obstacles, out of people's way. And that's my big four. Anything that takes me away from those four means nobody's doing those four.
Right.
And those are the 4 things I can't delegate. Everything else is up for grabs.
Say those 4 again quickly.
Sure. Set direction for the firm, right people, resources, and obstacles.
You talk about 3 barriers to growth in your book. Can we talk about the first one?
First one, Jim, is about $1 million, about 10 employees, and that's the one that 95% of startups never even get to that level, the $1 million level. So,
breaking through the $1 million level is the first barrier?
It absolutely is. And, you know, it's more driven by headcount and complexity than pure revenue. So we measure both, but it's that 10 people kind of mentality that's the first barrier.
Right.
The second barrier is
Hold on to that thought. I'm gonna pick up on that when we come back after these messages. I want you to give us your website, though, before you go, and how we can find your book.
www.theexecutionmaximizer.com.
We'll be right back with our new friend, Jim Alampi. Right after these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame. We're going to talk about those 2 other barriers to growth after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.